Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. Give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we've got a couple of things we want to let you know about here tonight. And another couple of things I want to talk about that we'll get to in the course of the evening. But we always want to make time for your phone calls, your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. I would just thank you so much for making this possible. We could be here. We pray that we'd be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight through the things that we talk about. Pray that we'd lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just thank you for the opportunities we have. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, welcome to the program. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can find out more about our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can certainly listen to some of the past programs there. And we've got programs, I think. Let me just do a quick check here. I think I'm up to this past Sunday, not this past Friday. I haven't got that one down there yet. But I think we're all up to date up through this past Sunday last week on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So you can listen to past programs. If you're not always able to get our Friday afternoon program on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 o'clock, you can find those there at livewithpastoral.com. And if you're not able to stay up all night long on Sunday night, for both hours of our program, we've got hour one and hour two. Both of them are listed there for our Sunday night programs. And if you're new to the program, want to listen to some of the things from the past, or you just want to listen to a program again, you can find it all at livewithpastoral.com. And there's also links to a number of articles and things that I have there, and some other materials that might be a blessing, encouragement to you. And you can also link to our homepage for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And we'll have more information about that later in the program. But let me encourage you to give us a visit at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. If you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, King James Bible, we preach from that exclusively for quite a variety of reasons, and we touch on them from time to time, but you can find us in Richfield, where we meet in, we don't have a building with a steeple, so if you're looking for that, you won't find us. We meet in a commercial space, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, and that's a little commercial strip at the corner of Wheatley Road, Brecksville Road, in Richfield, Ohio, right near where Interstate 77 and 271 cross. And I'd love to have you visit there. On Friday nights, we have a Bible study every Friday night from 7 until 9. It's an informal Bible study where you can bring questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word, and we discuss your questions. We have refreshments and things. It's just an informal setting where we can talk about fellowship around the Word of God. And then every Sunday, we have a morning service at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, our evening service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so we invite you to come out and visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. All right. Well, you're listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got some people lined up already, but I want to go first to our good friend, Pastor Alan Jenkins of the Nehemiah Network. And Brother Jenkins, are you there with us tonight? Hello, Brother Jenkins.
Yes, hello, Brother David.
There we are. I got you now. So... Well, good evening. Welcome to the program tonight.
Amen. I'm glad to be here.
Well, again, you know, as we say, you're one of those people that sometimes I wish I didn't have to talk to, but...
Yeah, I agree, especially on this subject.
Yes, yes, sir. And and for those who are listening, wondering what we're talking about, well, you head up a unique ministry called Nehemiah's Network, and through that ministry, you often bring disaster relief supplies into areas affected by everything from hurricanes to tornadoes to fires to floods. Have you done earthquakes? I don't know.
No, we haven't done an earthquake yet.
Well, hopefully you don't have to, but what is Nehemiah's Network?
Well, Nehemiah's Network basically started out as a helps ministry for local churches and for missionaries. And as we were doing that, God expanded it into the disaster relief area. And primarily that is one of our largest ministries right now that we are involved in. We still do helps to churches with building supplies and also helping missionaries overseas and so forth. But we're currently involved in continuing to send disaster relief items to the Ukraine. And, you know, there's just, we're working on the Maui situation, trying to raise money for Grace Baptist Church there as they rebuild. And there's a fella, I don't know if you know Hank Okumo. He goes to Cleveland Baptist, and he's doing a fundraiser on the 17th for that church also.
And actually, let me interrupt you there just a second, because that actually is a question that I had, you know, because even though Maui's off in Hawaii and a little far for your guys to drive, I'm sure, but it is interesting that you're able to do something to help out there. And you said you had a church there, Grace Baptist Church, that you were working with?
Yeah, in Lahaina, Grace Baptist Lahaina. So we're helping them.
I've been through Hawaii myself a few times. My wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, and so we would always go through Hawaii, and never got the chance to explore too much around other than, you know, the island that Honolulu's on. But there are some good works over there, I knew, and certainly we pray for the people that are there.
It's a shame what's happened there.
Yes.
There's a lot of questions I have and a lot of thoughts about what's going on there.
Regardless of all of that, there's certainly a need right now, isn't there, for people, like you said?
Right.
And you said there's a fundraiser coming up?
Yeah, they're doing a, on the 17th, after their morning service, Cleveland Baptist Church are doing a fundraiser dinner for that church.
Okay. That would certainly be something to... encourage people to go to.
Hank is from that region. Mm-hmm. He and his wife Norma, and they do a lot of catering type things, and so they'll be having a lot of, I'm sure, Hawaiian food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and certainly our time, our years that we spent in the Samoan Islands, the Polynesian people, the Samoan people are very similar to the Hawaiians. Very similar group people, language is similar, many customs very similar, and a lot of the foods are very similar. And I just thinking about that, I imagine if people would go to the Cleveland Baptist Church website, probably any search engine, plug in Cleveland Baptist Church, and they could contact the church for more information on that, couldn't they?
Right. Or you could send money to Nehemiah's Network, and we'll make sure it gets over to that church.
Very good. Very good. Yes.
And we're also doing.
Yeah. And of course, that brings us back then to
whichever is easier for people to do.
So, and of course,
and
every
then
opportunity.
We're involved with Hurricane Idalia.
Mm-hmm.
We're got a load going out this, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. It'll be going to Perry, Florida, which had a lot of wind damage. They had probably more wind damage there than they did flooding, but there was still flooding in that area.
And to give a little perspective here, because, of course, the hurricane struck in the Big Bend area, I believe it's called, which is tends to be probably one of the more less developed areas of Florida, thankfully. But where's Perry in relationship to, say, Tallahassee? Do you know offhand?
I don't know offhand. I know it's up there by the Panhandle.
Right.
You might be familiar with Keaton Beach. That was the heavy, where the hurricane came ashore.
Right.
And it was 125 miles, Category 3, when it came ashore.
Right.
And really, it stayed that 125 as it entered into Georgia. So it's right there, really close on the Georgia line. And it went into Vandalia, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then started across to the Carolinas and so forth. But fortunately, with this one, there were only three deaths, which was, you hate any time for there to be any death. But,
It certainly could have been much worse, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And had it gone most of it. A little further south, at Tampa Bay, as I recall, it was impacted, a lot of storm surge and everything from the winds and all. And, of course, it was a higher than normal high tide with the super moon and everything, full moon.
Right.
So as far as tide conditions go, it couldn't have happened at a worse time. But thankfully, it was further north. But it still covers a vast area with the winds and the rain. And it also spawns tornadoes out on the perimeter and things of that nature.
Right.
So,
and the hard part, the bad thing was that that area had not seen a hurricane for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So the people weren't really really prepared, and then a lot of the rebuilding is going to have to be very costly because they have to rebuild to hurricane standards.
Right, right.
So people are having a hard time there.
So you got contacts then with the church there in Perry, you said, right?
We have contact with Church Calvary Baptist in Perry, and they're going to set up a distribution center, and they had some damage to their building, and we're helping through Operation Renewed Hope, getting that done.
Well, I was going to say, for our listeners, and we're talking about making contact with a church there in Maui and a church there in Perry, why is it that you work through churches like that?
Well, first of all, I like to work with people of like faith. And one of the reasons is that we do pass out John and Romans, and we want a church that will witness to people, pray with people, and try not to only give them physical food and help, but give them the most important thing, the spiritual help that they need in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to run into any conflict with passing out the John and Romans that we belong with the load. And we want to make sure that the gospel is presented. And we don't only help Baptist people, but, we help anybody and everybody. But we want people to know that our main purpose is to share the gospel, and it's one of the great ways of doing that. When you're passing out food and helping people, you have a listening ear in many cases, and people are hurting, and it's a good time to reach them.
Absolutely. And certainly, I would say that the people who are there in that church are much more familiar with the local situation and probably where your disaster relief supplies and efforts are probably best used. Would that be the case?
Yes. Yeah, they know the places where many times we'll take supplies there, and they will load them up and pick up trucks and so forth and take them to different places to help the people, because we can't get into certain areas with a big truck, especially with some of the damage that is there. And, it gives that church a good opportunity to to help people. And, you know, people may not end up coming to their church right away, but at some point they might, when they're looking for a church and they're really looking to get their lives straightened out and give their lives to the Lord, one of the first places they might go to is, hey, that church that helped us during the hurricane, let's try over there.
Oh, absolutely. And you've had success with that, too, in the past, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure have. Yeah. Tremendous blessings. I had a lady saved that just came in to help write down names and talk to people in their language. And she got saved about at the end of the week from doing all that. And then not too long after, I think about a month after that, her husband got saved. So,
Amen. Well, it's certainly a valuable work, and it's a challenge, I'm sure, to get into these places. And, of course, it takes money, doesn't it? It takes money for fuel for the vehicles to get down there to deliver the supplies, and certainly food and lodging for the people who are going down there. And what is it that people can do best to help you out right now to help out the people in Florida recovering from Hurricane Idalia, and also the people over in Maui with the fires? What's the best thing people can do right now?
Well, one of the easiest things to do is monetary help. You could send a check to Nehemiah's Network and designate it whether you want it to go to Maui or Hurricane Idalia, and we'll make sure it's used for the right purpose it was designated. You know, as you said, we need help with the vehicle cost and so forth. And then we're also buying a lot of supplies along with the supplies that are being dropped off. We try to get the word out so that people can maybe bring in canned goods, dry goods, toiletries, paper products, cleaning supplies, and then we get all that palletized and get it on a truck and get it out. So whatever's easier for people, if it's easier to write a check, I mean, we'll do the shopping and we'll get that done. Or if people want to drop off food or items, I mean, there's things like flashlights that are needed, tents, just, you know, all kinds of things that you can think of without, you know, having to be, you know, without having a house to be in. And, you know, there's sleeping bags, you know, on and on. There are just so many different types of things that could be used.
Well, and if somebody wants to give, whether some goods or some financial help here, how is it they contact you again?
Okay, my phone number is 440-781-0209. You could drop the goods off if you are planning on doing that, either at the warehouse, 4488 West 160th Street, and that's in Cleveland, 44135. Or you could drop it off at our home church, Columbia Road Baptist Church, 4116 Columbia Road, North Olmsted, Ohio. Or you could go online and columbiaroad.org and go to the disaster relief section of giving and make a donation there, or just send a check, you know, to one of those addresses and mark it, designate it for whichever disaster you want for people to have help. And as I said, we're also doing the continuing to do the Ukraine war. You know, we're still sending supplies over there.
Right, right. And, you know, and I hate to have to say this, but Idalia is not the last hurricane that we're likely to see, because we are in the midst of hurricane season. And even when we get through hurricane season, there's still other things that happen from time to time, floods, fires, tornadoes, things of that nature. And you're always looking for help to be prepared, aren't you?
Yes, and, you know, there's still, our own state still has one that is, people are still suffering, and that's in East Palestine.
Right, right.
We took several truckloads of water there, and things have not been resolved. Unfortunately, the president hasn't even made a visit there yet. And those people are kind of left holding a bag.
Yes.
You and it, and that could happen to any community. And, you know, I think whenever we were talking about that before, I made note on the radio station that that train traveled through Cleveland.
Yes, it could have easily happened closer in this area.
Sure, yes.
And,
but, you know, please don't forget to pray for those people. I mean, there's still a lot of people are not in their homes yet.
Mm-hmm. And I would certainly say continue to pray for the areas where you've had opportunity. Nehemiah's Network has had opportunity to be in, bringing relief supplies, because even after the disaster is over and the relief supplies have been consumed and life begins to settle back into their norm, of course, you had touched on it earlier, working through the churches there and distributing the John and Romans and things. People begin to have questions. They begin to think about things. They may think about just how close they might have come to death, or just what
right.
could have happened. And it could be months, it could be years down the road, but those gospel tracts, those John and Romans, the witness that was made when you went there to drop off the disaster relief supplies, that witness may be something that bears fruit down the road, and people need to continue to pray for them even after you're gone.
Amen. In many cases, we won't know until we get to heaven the impact.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All of those. Yeah.
So, but again,
I you letting us get the word out.
Yes, and as I say again, Brother Jenkins, if you could give the information, if somebody wants to contribute, if they want to give financially or provide some canned goods, bottled water, or whatever supplies, how is it they should do that again?
Okay. If you want to give online, you can go to columbiaroad.org and go to the giving section and pull down the disaster relief panel. And if you want to drop supplies off or mail a check, you can mail it to Nehemiah's Network, 4488 West 160th Street, Cleveland, Ohio, 44135. Or you could drop off or mail it to Columbia Road Baptist Church, 4116 Columbia Road, North Olmsted, Ohio, 44070. My phone number again is 440-781-0209. And please make sure if you make a donation that you put on there what it's for, Maui or the Hurricane Idalia.
Right.
Or even right, either all three are still in progress.
Right, and certainly I encourage people, whether you give money, whether you give some goods or something like that, or even if you don't have the opportunity to give anything at this moment, everybody can certainly give some time in prayer, can't they?
Amen. Yeah, prayer is the most important key. That's definitely, we wouldn't be in the minute, we wouldn't have what we have if it weren't for prayer of God's people.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times people forget or just don't occur to them, I think, that when your people load up a truck and they drive into one of these disaster zones, sometimes they're going into some dangerous situations themselves because they're still dealing with the down trees and recovering power, and it's not just like driving down to Florida, dropping some stuff off. You may have areas where you're going to be challenges where you can get fuel, a place for your people to stay. And so they need to pray for them too, don't they?
Amen. Amen. That's definitely a need.
Yes. So again, Alan Jenkins, I do want to thank you for taking time to come on, and I want to thank you and the folks that are working there and the folks at Columbia Road Baptist Church that are helping make this ministry, the Nehemiah's Network, a possibility. I think that God has been blessing and certainly giving a tremendous opportunity to show Christian love and compassion in the midst of a hurting world. So,
amen. And again, thank you so much for what you do here.
Well, thank you, and I just want to hopefully be a help a little bit there. If it helps one person to pray, to be able to give, to be able to do something, it's worth it. So, but thank you again. I appreciate what you're doing there.
Okay, have a good night. thank you to your audience.
All right, and God bless, and appreciate your calling in tonight. God bless you listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, just talking with Pastor Alan Jenkins, a former pastor, actually, of Columbia Road Baptist Church, and now the full-time director of Nehemiah's Network. And the easiest thing to do, as he said, go to columbiaroad.org. That's their church website. And as he said, you can click on the giving tab there, the give tab. And as you come down on that, you'll see disaster relief. And that gives you some information about the things that they need. Or if you simply want to donate money to help out with the providing disaster relief supplies to Florida, recovering from hurricane that just went through there this past week, and also dealing with the recovery from the fires there in Maui in Hawaii. And certainly a lot going on disaster-wise in parts of the world. They're still helping, providing supplies and relief for the brethren in Ukraine suffering from the war over there. And do pray for them. Alan Jenkins and the folks with Nehemiah's Network Ministry of Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, Ohio. All right. Well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to be taking a break here in just a minute or so, and we'll be on till midnight tonight. And I just wanted to get Brother Jenkins on here to let people know what's happening and how you can take part praying for and ministering to the needs of the people impacted by the disasters, Hurricane Indira and in Florida, and the fires in Maui, and there and the recovery efforts. And also, certainly, we want to get to your calls tonight, your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you, and our phone number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's see, we've got Nancy waiting, I think, the longest here. What do we got, about 2 minutes before the break here? And so I didn't hear there. Oh, okay. Yeah, we have about 2 minutes. We'll get Nancy on here. We'll at least get a start on Nancy's question here tonight. So, Nancy, thank you for patiently waiting, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call, and good evening to you.
Oh, good evening to you as well. And like I said, we've got a break coming up, so we've got enough time to just kind of get to, and then I'll hold you over to the other side of the break. How's that sound?
Okay. I was thinking about Isaiah 55:8-9.
Uh-huh.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I was just thinking about atheists. How could they think that human beings came into existence without God? I mean, the human being is such a complex phenomenon.
Yeah.
I can hear and just talk and do all sorts of things. It just absolutely blows my mind how they can even think that a Big Bang had caused creation. And then also Genesis 1:20, and God said, let us make man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
But then another question I have, nobody has seen God, and He said he's making man in our image, but God is just a spirit. So how can they say making man in God's image?
All right. Well, actually, you've got quite a bit there to cover, and so it's a good thing we've got time, and we will touch on some of those. We've got a break coming up, and we're going to look at some of those questions there in Isaiah 55 and Genesis 1. And so if everybody will hold on, Nancy, if you'll stay with us, and I think Terry's waiting online as well, if you'll all hang on there, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's our website, livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me. You can read some articles and all that I have there. And there's links to a number of articles. There's some other materials that are available all at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs if you miss one of our programs. If you're not able to listen to our Friday afternoon program or you don't stay up to listen to both hours of our Sunday night program, you can find them all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, in Richfield, Ohio, where I am the pastor, and you can find out more information about the church there. I just want to let people know that we actually have our church anniversary service for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church coming up on Sunday, September 17th. It's hard to believe, just 2 weeks from today. And normally we have our morning service at 11 o'clock, where I'm currently preaching through the book of, or the Gospel of John. I'm in the midst of John chapter 6 right now. And then on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, our evening service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. I'm in the midst of Proverbs chapter 25. But on September the 17th, we have a different format. We'll have our regular morning service, and then Eric Howitt, he's known to a number of our listeners, gospel singer, beautiful voice, sings Christ-honoring hymns and gospel songs. He'll be providing special music during our morning service at 11, and then we have a dinner and fellowship time at 12:30. That'll go for a couple of hours, and then at 2 o'clock or thereabouts, then Eric Howitt will be singing, doing a short gospel concert for us, and we will have no evening service on September the 17th, Sunday, September the 17th. So all starts at 11 o'clock with the morning service, dinner and fellowship at 12:30 following the morning service, and then by about 2 o'clock, we'll have our a gospel concert with Eric Howitt. And if you've been there before, a number of our listeners have, it's enjoyable, relaxing time of fellowship as well. And we certainly invite you to come out. Richfield Bible Baptist Church anniversary service Sunday, September 17th. You can find out more information about that. Go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. And of course, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church is our primary sponsor of the program here. And another sponsor helps us out a little bit here is East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And I always mention that because the Garfield Heights High School is a lot easier to find. It's a big place, and you can see it. If you see the Garfield Heights High School, right across the street, there's a barber shop, and behind the barber shop is East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. And you can call 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And you can let them know that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. All right, we're going to get back to our program. Again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Got plenty of time. We'll be on till midnight, and we are talking with Nancy, who called in with the question just before the break. We're looking at a passage in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Nancy, are you there with us?
Yes, I am, Pastor Al. Thank you.
Yes. Well, so we're looking at Isaiah here, and what was your question then on this passage in Isaiah again?
It just amazes me that an atheist can believe in the Big Bang Theory, that they cannot believe in creation. When you look at the human, a human person, a baby, you know, have eyes and ears and, you know, can talk and make noises and just do all sorts of things, to think that these things just were created out of a Big Bang. And then also I was asking about Genesis 1:20, and God said, let's make man in our image. Mm-hmm. But from my understanding, God is a spirit. So who has seen God? I mean, is he really like a sort of like a human being?
All right.
And in our image. So that's another thing that I've always wondered about. If you have any theories on that, I appreciate it.
Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. And let's first go with Isaiah 55 there. And Isaiah 55, where we read in verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. And he explains that a little bit further when he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Anybody who thinks they can outthink God or outguess God or some way, is ignorant of this. So that's one thing we need to understand. And you brought up the idea of how atheists can see these things. And I thought about that before. There's twice in the Psalms, Psalm 14, I believe it's verse 1, where it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then it says the same statement in Psalm 53, and I believe that's the first verse as well. Again, both of them say, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I've wondered sometimes, why does God say the fool has said in his heart? Why doesn't he say the skeptic or the mocker or some other term? What is the purpose for the word fool? And you know, it's not that God's mocking or insulting people who say there's no God. And this is the conclusion I have. When we look at what God has created, the 19th Psalm says that, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And there's such abundant evidence of a creator that it's the height of foolishness to deny it. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's more foolish to deny the Creator God than it is to find a coffee cup laying on the ground in the woods and say, wow, look, the wind and the water eroded this piece of rock into the shape of a cup. We would say you're foolish, especially since it also sprayed, you know, other pieces on there that stained it so that it looks like a logo of some, you know, sporting team or something, you know, that we'd be familiar with. You'd say it's foolish to think that, because it is. The evidence plainly says that there's a creator to that mug. And that's what the Bible says about God or about the world. It plainly says there's enough evidence to show there's a creator, and that's why you have to be a fool to deny it. A fool in the sense of not thinking, but purposely refusing to think and to see what's abundantly obvious. And when we look at creation, look at, and you brought up, and I want to tie in with what you said over there in Genesis, where, what was that? That was Genesis chapter 1.
1:26, and God said, let make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over fish. But my question was, who has seen God? And you know, how can you say you're making man in his image when nobody's seen God? Because from my understanding...
Well, right. And I'm going to tie this in with your first question, why the person's a fool. When God made this statement, let us make man in our image, in the image, and then it says, after our likeness, and then it says, let them have, well, in the next verse, verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And we see this act of creation in Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says specifically in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, this is instrumental because the Bible presents God as a three-part being. We call that the Godhead or the Trinity, the triune God, three in unity, not three separate gods in committee, but one God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's one God, and we're created in his image. Now, follow this. He said, let's create man in our image, and when we see the creation of Adam in Genesis chapter 2, if you notice, God created Adam as a three-part being. Do you see that? He created the body of Adam, then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That would be the spirit. And then it says he became a living soul, and the soul would be the mind, the thinking, the intellect, the will, the emotive part of a human being. So a human being consists of three parts. We're a triune being like God. In the image of God, we picture the divine. Now, we're not divine. I'm not saying that. We're not divine. Right, we are created in God's image as a three-part being, and that's analogous to God because we know the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, let me stress, if you're reading one of the modern versions of the Bible, you may not have that verse there. That is one of the clearest presentations of the gospel of the Trinity, the Godhead, in the Bible and in the New Testament in particular. And many of the modern versions have removed that or at least cast doubt on that as being authentic. I recently wrote an article, which
can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I always use 1 John 5:7 when I'm witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, yes.
They don't know what to do.
Well, they're actually taught that that's a spurious
verse.
That verse
is not in their Bible,
right?
I understand.
Yeah, but many of them are taught that that's a spurious verse, and it wasn't put in until later. I was going to say, I wrote an article.
Really?
I wrote an article, and it's available. You can find it at livewithpastoral.com on 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, as to whether it's spurious or not. You can go all the way back to the first century, and you can find people quoting, referring to this, and defending the writing in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 in the King James Bible. You can find that all the way back to the first century. Anybody that tells you that that's a spurious verse, that it was added later, is either ignorant of the truth, meaning they don't know the truth, they don't know that it goes all the way back to the first century, or they believe a lie. They've been lied to and told that it's there, which still goes back to the ignorance, or they're actually lying to you. They know better, but they don't like the verse, and so they claim that it's not there. So anybody that claims that that verse doesn't belong either doesn't know what they're talking about, or they're lying to you because they don't like it. And so we're...
Because it blows their theory.
Exactly.
Yeah, in Jehovah's Witness, all they have is Jehovah. They don't have the Trinity.
Well, and they believe that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel, that he's a created being.
So
they don't like to tell you that right away, though. But so getting back to creating in the image of God, God exists as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so the Son, Jesus, the Bible says that God took on human form and dwelt among us. And we see God the Son being the primary means of the Godhead, which interacts with with creation. You know, it's by the word of God that the heavens, the earth were framed and everything. God spoke and they came into existence. But the Bible attributes the acts of creation to Jesus, to God the Son. But God the Father is the one that comprehended and decided what to do and how to set everything up. The Son carried it out. So God the Father would correspond to the soul. And our mind is supposed to tell us what to do and instruct the body on how to carry it out, and not the other way around. And then, of course, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that God the Son was able to do this. And so our spirit, which empowers our body, at the moment of physical death, the soul and the spirit leave the body. And so the body is now lifeless. And Adam's body was formed of the dust of the earth and was lifeless until the breath of life was breathed into it, and then he became a living soul. Now, he's now exists as a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And there's a divine order between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus in the Gospels says that he did the things that, the Father told him to do. Not the things that he decided to do, but what the Father told him to do. And, of course, he did it through the power of the Spirit. And that illustrates how we should live as children of God in this world. You know, this morning, I'm not a morning person at all. And this morning when my alarm went off, my mind, my soul, had to tell my body what to do. If I listened to my body, I wouldn't have got up in time for church. So I had to overrule my body's desires, and my body had to be in subjection. And that's the illustration that Jesus gave us when he said, you know, not my will, but thine to the Father. And he did the Father's will. And, of course, he did it through the power of the Spirit. And so we're creating his image in that sense. So when somebody talks about being in the image of God, that's exactly what we are. We're a three-part being just like he is. So it's a picture of the divine Godhead that we are created in the image of. Not that we're divine, as I said before, but that we're the image of the divine Godhead, a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Now,
am I correct in saying that, okay, we are created in his image? Jesus was, we do have an image of Christ.
Right.
So maybe he's referring to that part of the Godhead. I never thought of it before because I always think of God as a spirit, but he is a three-part being. So maybe we're created in the image of Jesus because God is a spirit. Am I correct? Am I interpreting that correctly?
The Bible says that Jesus became a man and dwelt among us. And all of everything that exists within the infinite being of God. And so, but God, through the Son, interacts with his creation. You know, he came down in the Old Testament. Remember the angel of the Lord, they call it theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of God the Son in the Old Testament. And so we saw God appearing in physical form. But the idea that there's a giant being out there that looks like a human being called God, I think is not the what's being meant by the scripture there. But what there is a an eternal, well, I should say an eternal, but a an what I want to say a being of infinite size. An infinite size, meaning no boundaries, who consists of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and he's infinite in his being. If he was shaped like a human being, then that would imply that there's space that exists outside of the being of God, which simply is not the case. But God has manifested himself in the shape of a human being, i.e. in the person of Jesus Christ, and also in the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, things like that. But what I was going to say, which is interesting, and tying this back to what you were asking about in Isaiah and talking about the abundant evidence of God's creation and the fact that God exists, is when we look at a human being, a human being is more than just a bag of bones walking around. You know, it's more. I've heard people try to say, "Well, we're nothing more than a meat computer." Well, here's the thing: my computer is completely soulless. I know that because it doesn't hesitate to crash on me when I don't want it to. You know, but what I'm getting at is, There's nothing living in my computer. It's only active when the power's on, and that's it. But the human body, with body, soul, and spirit, there's a definable difference at the point of death when the spirit departs from the body and the soul departs from the body. And it's sometimes it's hard to grasp this, but the body, or I'm sorry, the human being is more than just a body. The soul and the spirit is something that's completely separate in the sense of its makeup, of its existence, than just the physical cells, the atoms and the molecules which are assembled to comprise the cells and the organs and the structure of our physical body. Because, you know, think about it. When somebody passes away, you can take an organ and donate it to somebody, and that organ keeps on living, but you're not transplanting a piece of the person's soul. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, that's true.
And at the moment of death, there are things metabolically that are still taking place because not all of the cells have completely died. And so the cellular existence, the cellular life, is a little bit different from the life as we consider it, the life of a soul, the life of a spirit. And that body is alive when that soul and spirit are indwelling it. When the soul and the spirit are gone, the body is dead. Now it's just basically a bag of bones. And in science, we can understand that there is something there other than just, you know, bones, cells, organs, and things of that nature. There's something else there that causes it to work, that causes it to operate. There's something indefinable, something that you can't touch. You know, it's more than just, for instance, a brain that's controlling things. There's a mind that's housed within that brain, and the mind is different than the brain. Why does the brain operate the way that it does? Why does it think thoughts? Where does love come from, for instance? Why would we experience emotions in general? And not only that, where does the concept of God come from? That's because we have a soul and a spirit. And I think, how much time do we have left? I couldn't hear anything. 2 minutes. All right, great. I just want to make sure because we're coming up on the break here. But excuse me, we have, you know, more than just a body. You know, we have the soul and the spirit, and you know the mind allows us to make decisions and think complicated things and think about God, and the spirit allows us to live and to interact with God and all these things. They all work together, just like the Godhead works together. And as a consequence, when you think about it, you know, it's foolish to say that all of this happened. Okay, let's say I could come up with a way to evolve a body. How do I evolve a mind? How do I evolve emotions? How do I evolve thoughts and hopes and dreams and fears and love and hate? How do I evolve all those things? And it's obviously there's more to us than just cells and atoms and molecules and things of that nature. And that's because we're creating the image of God. And when we look at all of this, it screams out that there's a creator. It just screams out that there's something there, you know. I was referencing my computer there earlier, and we're going to be breaking here shortly. But, you know, my computer has an operating system in it, and it has stuff that's in its memory. But, you know, I take away the electricity, and my computer's nothing more than a big paperweight. It can't do anything without the electricity. And the body's kind of that way. You take away the spirit, it can't operate. And the mind is kind of the operating system, I guess, in a sense. You take away the operating system, you know, all that stuff's there, but it doesn't do us any good. And but we're creating the image of God. We reflect His glory, and we testify of Him. So hopefully that helps a little bit there, Nancy. But we're out of time in this hour. Stay tuned. We got our hour to go.